Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, presented to you by the Combined Arms Doctrine Directorate at the Combined Arms Center at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The views expressed here are those of the individual and do not represent the views of the Combined Arms Center, U.S. Army, or U.S. government.
Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, a U.S. Army Combined Arms Center podcast on emerging doctrine and the Army's vision of warfare. Hello, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and I'll be your host through our 12 Days of Doctrine. Today, on our third day of doctrine, Special Doctrine Division is giving to you, our listeners, ghost stories. Now, the Army Psychological Operations Branch draws its legacy from the Ghost Army of World War II. And today, we continue the conversation with Mr. Marty Bartram, the Chief of Doctrine for the Army Psychological Operations Branch. Our conversation is a dive into the upcoming edition of FM3-53, Psychological Operations. We discuss two of the biggest projected changes to this pub, categories of behavior, and the spectrum of influence. Marty, we've talked a bit about FM353, but I'd like to get more into the weeds of the changes and the story behind those changes. Can you start us off with that?
Yeah, so some of the other changes to FM353, I wouldn't even call them changes. It's an evolution. First of all, it's abhorrent to me that book is 11 years old.
That's pretty crazy in doctrine terms.
It is. It's abhorrent, right? It's a disservice to our force. It's a disservice to the Army, and I own responsibility for that problem. But so evolution. So when General Roberson was RCG, he asked me a rhetorical question, and he said, what is the difference between influence that requires a department of a DOD approved MISO program and the influence I can wield as a maneuver commander? And I thought, dang, I'm glad that was rhetorical, right? Because I don't know the answer. So I went back to my desk and I thought about it and I decided to call a friend. So I called Office of Secretary of Defense for Policy, who owns that. They couldn't answer it either. So I dwelled on that and played around with it with my team for about 18 months. And one day, reading JP3O, I had kind of an epiphany, and we wrote a spectrum of influence into FM353. So it starts with national strategic influence and goes down to tactical level influence. And we don't call it the spectrum of influence. It is a spectrum of influence because, as you know, doctrine's supposed to tell you how to think, not what to think, right? So we're giving folks a way to think about influence. So we walk these four echelons, essentially, within the spectrum of influence, from tactical influence to national strategic. And when we think about national strategic, we're thinking about those things that are protecting U.S. interest, right? So and then the step below that, are those things implemented through, is the M in DIME, so the implementation of a combatant commander campaign plan. And then below that are the individual operations and missions that achieve supporting objectives to those campaign plan objectives. And at the bottom echelon, you have tactical level influence, which I think any commander, any leader for that matter, can wield. Right? Just like tactical deception doesn't require any special authorities to conduct, a infantry squad leader can influence his battle space in just the way he talks to civilians, right? In a bunch of different ways by posture. So that was one part of the equation to answer that. The other part was, we have this problem right now. We have some synonymous definitions. So military information support operations, that definition, which we created an Army definition for, which is more succinct than the joint definition that has already been approved by the Army terminologist, that's in FM353. That definition and the definition of operations in the information environment, they have different words in them, but they mean the exact same thing. They're about changing a foreign audience behavior. So as I thought about that, and talk to, again, OSD policy folks about the need to rectify that. The word that's not defined by the military anywhere is behavior. So we looked at that, took a very psychological approach to it, went to the American Psychology Association dictionary and Merriam-Webster's and looked at those definitions, found they weren't sufficient, and what we came up with was four categories of behavior. And the top portion is basically changing cultural norms.
Okay.
Which is a long term, right? Typically takes three generations to do. If you're talking about getting rid of corruption in a society, for example, that's at least three generations to do that. And then there's, at the very bottom end, there's just the behavior I need you to do once. So it's, I need you to look left so I can punch you from the right. Or it's, I need you to surrender. I don't need you to surrender every time you see an American for the rest of your life. I just need you to surrender this one time. And then in between, there's some other things that we break out. So we end up with these four categories. And then when we looked at both a spectrum of influence and those categories, they kind of match up. So that bottom level category of behavior kind of matches up with tactical level influence, right? And that national strategic influence marries up with changing those cultural norms. Wasn't our intention to do that. It just kind of makes sense that way. And then at the end of the day, what's the so what to the psychological operations soldier? Mm-hmm. The so what is it gives them a way to articulate to a commander the types of behavior they're trying to create or change or sustain, the level of resourcing it requires to include time, right? So that we can manage expectations of how long things take to achieve. And we found already that it's helping articulate objectives much more clearly. So that's another thing that's in the FM that I'm pretty happy about and is a big evolution.
I really like that because I think Iraq, Afghanistan, we were trying to make a cultural change, taking people who were not homogenous in these countries and trying to make them a nation that they weren't.
Right.
They don't have a national identity, I should say. So that you put that construct on that, and that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and it's if you're put it in those terms to a senior leader, a commander, a JTF commander, land component commander, I think they better understand how long it's going to take to achieve some of things. For us, some of our supporting psychological objectives, which are a specific behavior for a specific target audience, can take 3 years to achieve. But if your unit's rotating 6 months at a time, how do you measure progress? So a couple years ago, we introduced intermediate psychological objectives, which is tied to our hierarchy of psychological effects model. And that has paid dividends as well. So we codified that. That was in a technical manual. We codified it in the FM, so it has a doctrinal foundation. And we have found that introducing that has really been instrumental in conducting assessments. If you're rotating on a six-month basis, you can actually achieve something during that rotation.
Yeah.
So you don't come home feeling like you don't know what it is you just spent six months away from your family for. And in some cases, units have been able to determine that they will never get the target audience to the required behavior because the conditions on the ground are outside of their control. So a really easy one that I use all the time is, so we want you to quit growing coca, right? And we want you to grow coffee. Well, you have every intent of doing that, or you would prefer to do that, but you have no intent to do that. Because if you do, the cartel is going to kill your family. Well, I'm never going to get you to that behavior until I can get the partner nation to change the conditions on the ground, right? But if I can articulate that to the commander, I can't change these conditions. That's how you energize a whole government approach, right, and other government agencies to come in with their toolkit and their resources to change conditions so that we can reach a military objective.
I love all of that. There's, you know, some scar tissue from Iraq, Afghanistan, and I just think about, you know, the sit-reps that went up. And it was always, you have to show progress, you have to show
right.
progress. And I think there's a lot of veterans out there who feel that way, that we at the tactical level were influenced to make our assessments look good, to make sure showing that.
That's not new, right? Body count in Vietnam, right, was a way that we measured progress even though we weren't gaining ground. You know, those kinds of things. I think at the command level, there's now intermediate military objectives, which I think will help the Army and tactical echelon units better understand how their actions are contributing to achieving an objective, right? Given today's information environment, with pervasive surveillance and ubiquitous information and fragmented media and all those other conditions I can name, that it's not enough to understand a commander's intent and mission statement two echelons up. We think it's three to five echelons up. That if you need to understand what it is you're doing at the platoon level, you need to understand what the Corps commander's mission statement is, right, and his intent. Because the things we do, at no other time in history can unintended tactical actions have strategic effects, right?
I see. You're saying all formations.
I think so. I think because of the information environment, right? I'm fortunate that we have our NCO Academy and our qualification course right next door to us.
Yeah.
So I get to go in and do a doctrine presentation at the qualification courses and our advanced courses and the senior leader course every class. And lately, one of the things I ask is, who remembers Abu Ghraib, right? And not a lot of people, necessarily, depending on the age, right? And I ask them, what if that would have happened today?
Oh, my.
Right? The outcome would have been much, much different because the information environment is that much more pervasive.
Yeah, because we just had, digital cameras and
yes.
a little video capability,
yep.
and that's what we got from that. Not everyone has a cell phone.
Right. Yeah. Not going around TikTok and Twitter and X and Facebook and Instagram and everybody else's social media, right? Every news outlet in the world. And then our adversaries taking that and adding to it, right? Amplifying it. Changing it so it's something that's not even, right? And you would never catch up to something like that. So I think it's just being aware of the situation. But I think if you want to have an understanding as what you're doing as a squad, platoon, company, even battalion, how it affects the big picture, if you know what that mission statement and commander's intent is, 3 to 5 echelons up, I think maybe you get a better understanding of the big picture and what your role is.
We'll see if doctrine changes. Thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Just like writing new doctrine is a team effort, breaking doctrine takes a team. Without the Kurin Special Doctrine Division here at CAD, we wouldn't be able to bring you this show. Please don't forget to subscribe on Amazon Music, Apple, Odyssey, Audible, Spotify, or YouTube. Also, go ahead and follow us on social media at U.S. Army Doctrine to get updates on new podcasts, Doctrine Digest videos, and publications. Finally, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official position of the United States Army, the U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command, or the Combined Arms Center. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and this has been Breaking Doctrine.